Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Pine Creek Marriage by Amity Hope, narrated by Cassidy Brown. Chapter 1. Pine Creek, Minnesota. Amelia Bauman hoisted her grocery bags a little higher as she wrestled her way through the front door. The farmhouse she shared with Mary Kurtz was unusually quiet. Mary normally called out a greeting as soon as Amelia walked in. Mary's aging mare, Letty, and Amelia's own horse, Jasmine, were both grazing in the pasture. Perhaps, she thought, Mary had decided to take a nap. Mary, a spinster and a childhood friend of Amelia's mother, had fallen, slipped on the ice last winter. With a broken ankle and a household to run, she'd been in a quandary. Amelia had offered to move in with her. In doing so, Mary offered free room and board for assistance around the house. It had been a wonderful arrangement for the both of them. Aside from the injury, Mary had arthritis, making most tasks difficult for her. Amelia helped with the housework, cooking, gardening, and keeping the horses fed, and groceries. She lugged the bags into the kitchen. She had purchased them after her shift at the Pine Cone Cafe. The three-wheeled bicycle she rode to work had a large basket on the back, making it ideal for a quick shopping trip after work. She plopped them down on the table, and a white piece of notepad paper caught her eye. Mary had scrawled a hasty message letting her know that she had gone to the Ziegler farm for dinner. The invitation was extended to Amelia, should she care to join them. A visit with her cousins would be nice, but with a quick glance at the clock, she realized she'd dawdled too long in town. It was likely Mary would be home soon. Amelia placed the vanilla extract and spices into the cupboard, spun around to grab the flour off the table, and let out a little yelp. The bag of flour slipped from her grip. A white cloud billowed up around her as she slapped a hand over her mouth. How loud had she yelped? Loud enough for the strange man peering through the window to hear her? Who was this man? He was Amish, or at least she believed so, judging by the straw hat and suspenders, but he was also a stranger. She lived in this district for over a year now. Never had she seen the stranger, who quickly peered in the window and then ducked away. Why would anyone be looking through the window? Her heart pounded, and a trickle of dread slithered down her spine. What was he doing creeping around on the back porch? She didn't know, but was afraid she was about to find out. Mindless of the mess on the floor, she leaped over the flour and lunged toward the gas stove. A cast iron skillet rested on the burner. Fueled by adrenaline and fear, she hoisted the heavy pan as if it weighed nothing. The man knocked. Well, she hadn't been expecting that. Amelia relaxed her grip on the pan, but then realized with a glance that the back door was unlocked. She was always careful about checking locks. Mary must have left it open. He knocked again. Why was he at the back door and not at the front? That door was visible from the road and was the door guests always used. She wasn't keen on answering, not when she was here alone and she didn't recognize his face. Pine Creek was a small town, but even small towns weren't immune to danger. It was possible she was a bit jumpy due to the ordeal she'd endured while living with her cousin last year. A man had played a series of terrible pranks, causing damage and leaving Amelia skittish. The window in the kitchen door had a flimsy white curtain covering it. Most likely he couldn't see in, but she didn't want to take any chances. She edged backward, determined to stay out of his sight. Just go away, she thought. She wouldn't answer the door for a stranger, no matter how many times he knocked. Her heart hammered in her chest. The doorknob jiggled. She gasped as she realized that he was going to come in. As the door at the back of the kitchen opened, the one leading to the back porch, she lunged forward and swung the heavy skillet. The man let out a shout of protest as he ducked. The skillet hit the doorframe with a resounding thud. Amelia let out a shriek as the stranger righted himself, then soon realized she wasn't the only one who had done so. A small girl let out a yell of her own.
Auntie Mary, why are you clobbering my dad?
The indignant waif glared at Amelia. The man took a step back, swooped down, and scooped the child into the protection of his arms. "This ain't our Auntie Mary," he proclaimed, his disdainful gaze swept over her. Auntie Mary? He knew Mary Kurtz then, Amelia realized, or at least he was pretending to. "Who are you?" she demanded, the heavy pot still dangling from her hand. Her heart beat so ferociously in her chest that she could hear her blood sloshing in her ears.
"Who are you?" he returned.
"Where's Auntie Mary?"
the child chimed in, her tone plaintive.
"We've been waiting and waiting."
"That's a good question," the man replied. He glared at Amelia with a whole heap of distrust in his eyes, as if he suspected she may have attacked the elderly woman as well, then undoubtedly stashed her away somewhere.
"I'm Mary's permanent house guest," she finally managed, her voice still shaking. "As for where Mary has gone, she left a note stating she was visiting my cousin's family. She's gone for supper, though she should be home soon. My cousin's husband will likely be driving her," she added as a precaution, in case this man wasn't trustworthy after all. Feeling as if she'd shared enough and deserved some answers, she tried her question again.
"And you are?"
"I'm Ruthie. I'm 6, the little girl said. She had one arm looped around her father's neck, the other jabbed into her waist. She wore an almost comical scowl on her face. Clearly she wasn't about to let Amelia's wrongdoing go, because she demanded,
"Why did you try to hurt my dad?"
Amelia pulled in a calming breath, placed the skillet on the stove, but kept her distance. She still didn't know who this stranger was, didn't quite trust him yet, but had to hope that any man who was as protective of his child as he seemed to be would not harm her in the girl's presence. She should be safe, right?
"I saw him peering through the window," Amelia said. "He frightened me. I wasn't expecting a stranger to open the door and let himself in."
"He's not a stranger. He's my dad," the girl continued to frown. "My dad won't hurt you or anyone else."
Very good to know, Amelia thought. The man's stern look faded slightly at her explanation.
"My apologies. I didn't mean to scare you. We've been waiting in the Dottie house. Ruthie told me she saw someone head to the house, but I didn't hear a buggy drive up. I suppose I peeked in the window, hoping to figure out if Mary had returned."
"You couldn't just knock," Amelia scoffed. He shrugged.
"I did knock. Eventually. But I know Mary's getting along in years. I thought perhaps she didn't hear me."
He bent over, placing the youngster on her feet. He held out a hand which Amelia eyed warily.
"My name is Samuel Kurtz. Mary is my aunt. If you didn't gather that already, she should be expecting us."
Amelia gave his hand a quick, obligatory shake, then pulled away.
"She's not expecting you. I'm sure of it. She would have told me."
Was he truly Mary's nephew? She supposed it was entirely possible, and really it was probably likely. A lie such as that would be quickly disproven, and he seemed intent to stick around for a while.
"I sent a letter early last week," he explained. "I'm originally from Pine Creek. Mary is my dad's sister. When my family moved away, I was none too happy about it, but I was only 16. Mary told me if I ever wanted to move back, I was welcome here. I don't think she thought it would take me more than a decade to decide to do just that, but here I am."
"Here you are," Amelia curtly replied. Ruthie hung back, clinging to her father's leg.
"You scared me," she said with a little pout. "Frying pans are not for swinging."
Amelia felt a rush of embarrassment course through her, as scaring the child had not been her intention. She knelt down, looked the child in the eye, and said with sincerity,
"I'm very sorry about that."
"It's okay."
The little girl took a step forward and, without warning, wrapped her arms around Amelia's neck.
"I forgive you."
Amelia felt as if the child had reached right in and grabbed her heart. Her tiny body pressed against Amelia, smelling of strawberry shampoo and sunshine. Such a simple act should not have had such an impact, but it did. Amelia expelled a shaky breath
at the swirling of emotion she felt as the child stepped away, her gaze locked with Samuel's, and the warm, fuzzy feeling quickly faded. He was eyeing her with distrust, which she found supremely annoying considering he was practically trespassing. "How did you get here?" Amelia asked. "I for certain would have noticed a buggy out front."
"We took the bus," Ruthie exclaimed, "all the way from Ohio, and when we got here, a man drove us."
She paused, as if for dramatic effect, as her eyes sparkled.
"He drove us in a car."
They had hired a driver then, Amelia realized. It was not uncommon.
"I was hoping Mary would be home when we arrived," Samuel explained. "It didn't feel right coming into her house with her gone. It might not be right to help ourselves to the Dawdy house, either. But I needed somewhere for Ruthie to go. I remembered where the spare key was hidden."
Amelia pressed her lips together. She didn't know where the spare key was kept. In fact, she had no idea that Mary had even hidden one. She didn't doubt his story, though. Not because she trusted him, but because the precocious six-year-old would certainly refute him if he were fibbing. Her gaze scoured over Samuel once more. He wore black work boots, broad cloth pants, a royal blue shirt with black suspenders, and a straw hat rested atop his head. He spoke in an Amish dialect. It seemed likely he was who he claimed to be. Yet something niggled at her. It wasn't that he was maybe a bit too handsome for his own good. His pale green eyes seemed to cut right into her. His honey blonde hair curled a bit around the edges of his hat. His chiseled jaw, she stopped herself, mentally slamming on the brakes. That's what it was. His jaw. His beard. Or rather, lack of. He had a daughter, which would indicate he had a wife. Yet he had no beard. She frowned as she tried to reason that out. Something seemed very off about the situation. The little girl hadn't mentioned a mother. Was he widowed? Every Amish widower she knew had maintained his beard. Had he come from a district where shaving off a beard was allowed? She had never heard of such a thing, but her life experience was not exactly far-reaching.
"Where did you say you were from?"
she asked, trying to keep the suspicion out of her tone.
"Ohio," he replied.
Before she could ask where in Ohio, because she had gleaned that much from Ruthie, he continued on.
"We were ready for a change. I spent my boyhood in Pine Creek. My dad moved our family back to Charm, where his family was originally from." He patted Ruthie on the shoulder. "We are ready for a fresh start. And I thought the place of my youth was an ideal spot for little Ruthie to grow up."
The way he spoke seemed to confirm that it was just him and Ruthie. Did he need a fresh start due to the loss of his wife? Despite her weariness, Amelia felt herself soften toward him. She knew what it was like, how very devastating it could be to lose your love, your other half. She understood the appeal of a fresh start. She understood it far too well. Amelia filed that bit of information away. Of course she had heard of Charm. It was one of the better-known communities. She found it very unlikely that such a long-standing community would allow such an odd act as shaving off a beard. She didn't dare ask, though, as that seemed to be a highly private matter. He tilted his head to the side, studying her.
"I don't remember you, and you seem to be about my age. Are you new here?"
"I am. I moved from Harmony."
She hurried her explanation, telling him only what she wanted to share.
"My cousin Emma Ziegler, Emma Brontrager now, lost her dad last year. She needed help caring for her siblings and running her family's farm. Last fall she married Levi Brontrager, and they no longer needed my help. But I liked Pine Creek, so I decided to stay."
"How did you come to live with Aunt Mary?"
"Mary took a bad fall a few months ago while she was in town. We had a late-season ice storm, and she slipped getting out of her buggy and broke her ankle. Between that and her arthritis, she could barely get around. I offered to stay with her." No need telling him that the farmhouse Emma and Levi were living in had gotten a bit small with the addition of Levi and a baby on the way. "It was an arrangement that has worked out well for us both."
You're not married, then?
Was that a look of disapproval on his face? It was true. She was nearing 30, and most women her age were wed. She had no desire to share anything with this man, so she did not tell him that she had been married, that she had been widowed due to a tragic accident. She simply said, "Nay, and I don't intend on changing that." He had the decency to look chagrined.
"I apologize. That wasn't right of me to ask."
She said curtly, "No, it wasn't." Ruthie spoke up then, saving them from more awkwardness. She frowned at Amelia. "There's a kitchen in the Dotty house, but there's not a bite of food. I'm starving. Can I have a snack?" Amelia frowned right back, only her ire was directed at him. "You have no food for the kinner?" Samuel didn't appreciate the way this woman was looking at him with such disdain. Her dark blue eyes seemed to dig into him, holding him as tightly as the pins under her cap secured her chestnut hair. He surely hadn't meant to scare her. He'd only hoped to announce his presence to his aunt. What was his Aunt Mary thinking, taking in this woman? He should have known that it wasn't Mary who had arrived when his daughter announced she'd seen a woman on a bicycle. What sort of woman rode a bicycle? Not any Amish woman he had ever known. And what sort of woman greeted a stranger with a cast-iron skillet? No God-fearing, peace-loving Amish woman he'd ever met, that was for certain. Now she was eyeing him as if he were a potential criminal.
"I was expecting Mary to be here," he said defensively.
He wasn't proud to admit that he'd been counting on his aunt for a meal, but he had been. It was the Amish way to provide hospitality. Since he had written his aunt, he had thought she'd be expecting them, but clearly the letter had gone astray.
"We do have some crackers we've been snacking on."
"I'm so hungry," Ruthie pouted. "I'm tired of crackers. Maybe we should go back to Ohio. When we lived with Adelaide, she always gave me snacks. I miss her. She made the most appendage ginger cookies and peanut butter sandwiches." He didn't miss the scowl that formed on Amelia's face at the mention of Adelaide. He could only imagine what she made of Ruthie's words, likely assuming he was living with a woman out of wedlock, living in sin. He was in no mood to try to set her straight, mostly because she didn't look too keen on listening to him. "I suppose I ought to feed you then," Amelia said. She didn't look particularly happy about it. Did the Amish of Harmony lack in hospitality, or was it just this woman? His stomach rumbled, reminding him of the offer of food. He noticed the messy pile of flour on the floor. Had he scared her into dropping it? He almost offered to clean it up, but he wasn't sure she would appreciate the help. Amelia had her back to him as she rummaged through the gas-powered refrigerator. He didn't want to accept anything from this cantankerous woman. He'd like to tell her not to bother. But truth be told, he was starving, and it was no secret that Ruthie was. The child needed to eat. First and foremost, his daughter needed to be taken care of. He mentally swatted away the annoying edge of pride he felt.
"Can I help with anything?"
She glanced over her shoulder, quirking an eyebrow at him. "Nay, I can manage." "I want to help," Ruthie announced. Amelia turned to the child with a gentle smile. "Do you know what you can do? You can run to the bathroom and wash your hands so they're nice and clean for our meal. When you come back, I'll need help putting some cookies on a plate." She glanced at him and nodded toward the doorway. "Bathroom is just down the hall." Somehow, he felt as if he were being dismissed. He didn't bother telling Amelia that he was completely familiar with the floor plan, that he used to visit his aunt on a regular basis. He merely led Ruthie to the bathroom. As usual, she took her time, playing a bit with the bubbles. Then she needed her cap straightened. Then she decided she had to go to the bathroom, causing her to need to clean her hands once more. When the whole ordeal was finished, they returned to the kitchen. The flour mess was cleaned up. Amelia had quickly put together a spread of chicken salad sandwiches, coleslaw, and a bowl of sliced apples.
"That looks wunderbar," he said.
"Dengi, for going to the trouble."
She waved a dismissive hand at him. It was no trouble. Well, then, perhaps she was a bit more hospitable than he'd first given her credit for.
Where are the cookies?
Ruthie wondered. She stood on her tiptoes, trying to peer over the countertop.
Right here,
Amelia said. Her tone was soft when she spoke to Ruthie, not at all like it was when she was speaking with him. As long as she was kind to his little one, that was what mattered the most. She opened a plastic container as she knelt down to Ruthie's level.
We have chocolate chip or peanut butter. What kind do you and your dad like?
Ruthie gave her a big grin.
I think we'd like one of each.
As long as you promise to eat your supper, I think that would be just fine, Amelia said. She lifted her gaze to his, raised a questioning brow. He gave a small nod, appreciating that she sought his opinion.
I will, Ruthie assured her. I'm so hungry I could eat everything in the kitchen.
She reached in and plucked several cookies from the container and gingerly placed them on the plate that Amelia held in her other hand. Once Ruthie was done, she took the plate in both hands and carefully walked to the table with it. Amelia placed the food on the table and the trio sat down. Samuel found himself grateful for Ruthie's presence, as it made sharing a meal with a strange woman a little less awkward. Ruthie chattered on and on, asking Amelia endless questions. Most were benign, such as what was her favorite cookie and did she like to bake? Did she have a favorite color and what were the names of the horses in the pasture? She wanted to know if Mary had a dog and was delighted to hear that there was a cat.
Are there lots of other kinder at school?
She looked at Amelia with hope.
Dad says I'm going to start school here.
Amelia gave a little nod.
I don't know how many exactly, but I've seen several little girls at church service. I'm sure you'll have no trouble at making friends.
Samuel was grateful for the reassurance that she gave. He took advantage of the brief pause in conversation while Ruthie stuffed a bite of cookie in her mouth. Looking at Amelia, he said,
Did you say your cousin is Emma Ziegler?
Emma Bontrager now.
He nodded, remembering what she had told him.
She married Levi?
Yeah.
I remember them both. They were younger than me by a few years, but I knew Levi pretty well. His brother Isaac was one of my closest friends. We went to school together.
He grinned.
Don't tell me, I'm going to guess. He married Jessa Weaver.
Amelia nodded, a smile peeking through.
He did. They have four kinder now, the youngest a set of 3-year-old twins.
I bet he's a busy man.
I'm sure he is, Amelia said.
She wasn't being overly friendly, but talk of her cousin's family seemed to have thawed her icy demeanor just a bit. The sound of buggy wheels crushing on gravel pulled Amelia from her seat. She darted to the window over the kitchen sink.
Mary is home. There was no denying the relief in her voice.
He tried not to be offended. Truth be told, he wasn't exactly enjoying her company either. Amelia quickly rinsed off her dinner plate and put the leftovers back in the refrigerator. Clearly, she wanted the place tidy for his aunt. A few moments later, an elderly woman hobbled into the kitchen. She moved slowly, favoring her left leg. A confused smile lifted her cheeks.
Amelia, I didn't realize you were having a caller.
Amelia sputtered as she shot him a horrified glance.
Nay, that's not what's happening at all.
Are you my Aunt Mary?
Leave it to Ruthie to smooth over the conversation. Mary blinked at the girl.
I don't know. Am I?
She turned to him. The look of confusion slowly melted away, replaced by a beaming smile as recognition kicked in.
Samuel!
He nodded and stood, pulling his aunt into his arms.
It's been a long time, Aunt Mary.
I'll say it has. Look at you, all grown up.
She twisted away from him, facing Ruthie.
You are correct, dear one. I am your Aunt Mary.
She tapped her chin as she gave the little girl a teasing grin.
I'm going to guess you must be Ruthie.
I am, she cried in delight. I am Ruthie.
I'm sorry to come unannounced, Samuel told Mary. I sent a letter, but Amelia let me know that it hasn't arrived.
Oh, don't worry a thing about that, she said, brushing away his concern with a wave of her hand. Your family. You know, my door is always open to you. He glanced at Amelia, feeling the very childish urge to make a face as if to say, I told you so. But having busied herself with washing the melted chocolate chips from Ruthie's fingers, she didn't bother to look his way. Chapter 2 Amelia tried to convince herself that it didn't matter that Samuel had returned. It didn't matter that he was family. It certainly didn't matter that he had decided to stay a while. At least, she desperately hoped it so. Her worst fear was that Samuel would convince Mary that she no longer needed Amelia. She didn't know what she would do if that happened. It would be easier to convince herself that she was wrong if she hadn't found Samuel in the kitchen a bit before 5 in the morning, cooking eggs and brewing coffee on the gas stove under the light of a lantern.
What are you doing?
She demanded. She fussed with her cap to assure it was on straight as she scooted over to the stove, intending to take over. With his back to her, he blocked her way, hoarding the cooking for himself.
What does it look like? He asked over his shoulder. I'm making breakfast.
He noted her frown.
I'll replace the groceries. I don't intend to take advantage of Mary's kindness, but she did tell me to help ourselves to whatever we needed. Right now I need coffee and some food for my stomach.
Amelia wasn't concerned about Samuel eating up the groceries she'd purchased. Groceries could be replaced. Between her part-time work at the Pinecone Cafe and the sales from the greenhouse Mary owned, they were doing just fine. What she did mind was a man standing at what she had come to think of as her stove, in her kitchen, albeit the kitchen she'd shared with Mary for the past few months, but it had begun to feel like her own, and this interloper was making her uncomfortable.
Have a seat, he said. I've made enough eggs for two. Better yet, you pour the coffee and I'll dish up the plates.
She was tempted to tell him she wasn't hungry, but that would be a lie. Her stomach rumbled, anticipating the morning meal giving her away. With a little huff, she reached for the cupboard with the coffee cups instead. Having a man in the kitchen with her, at this hour of the morning no less, felt very, very wrong. She couldn't stop her mind from wandering to thoughts of Gideon. Her husband had been an early riser as well, as most all Amish were. But he'd never ventured near the stove, never cooked her a meal. And she hadn't minded one bit. He'd had his own chores that he tended to, that she never touched. Yet there was no denying the scent of the eggs was more than a little enticing. Samuel had managed to find the peppers and onions. He'd sautéed them before adding them to the eggs. If she was not mistaken, over the top of the scrambled heap was a melted mound of her cousin Sadie's special goat cheese. You said you made enough for two, she echoed.
Yeah.
He filled up one plate, then the other. Isn't the second serving for Ruthie? As she filled a coffee cup, her eyes scoured the kitchen for the first time. Where is Ruthie?
I can just scramble up more eggs to bring to her later. She's still asleep, he said.
In the Doddy house? Alone? He frowned at her as he carried the plates to the table.
Yeah? You don't think she's safe there? She's likely to sleep another hour or more. If she wakes, she won't be shy about running across the yard to find me.
She's young to be left alone, Amelia said.
She's 6, he replied. And I haven't gone far. He jabbed a bite of egg.
Amelia realized she was staring at his unshaven face when he frowned, rubbing a hand over his bare chin. She quickly jerked her eyes away. Regardless of what she thought of this man, it was rude to stare, and none of her business to wonder why a widower would have shaved his beard.
Do you have kinner?
His words seemed to burst into the silence. It was a rhetorical question, and they both knew it, as he'd asked yesterday if she'd been married.
Nay,
she said more brusquely than she'd intended. He couldn't possibly understand how deeply that question wounded her.
But you don't seem to approve of how I'm raising my little girl.
It was a statement, not a question. He took a bite of eggs as he waited for her to answer. Perhaps she'd overstepped. Regardless, his question had chased away her appetite. Rising from the table, she placed the untouched plate in the refrigerator. I'm sure Ruthie will be...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?